A Johnston County parent goes inside an elementary school with a gun and a badge, only he isn't a police officer. See a live update on the charges he now faces.
A Wake County teacher suspended as the district investigates a list of insults against elementary students.
This 80-degree weather will last into our weekend, but there's one catch. See when you'll need to plan around shower and storm potential.
Right now at 7, a man is in jail after entering his child's school dressed in this tactical gear, wearing that vest with a badge, and carrying that gun. Thank you for joining us. I'm Gerald Owens.
And I'm Deborah Morgan. All this happened on Dixon Road Elementary in Johnston County. And police say 34-year-old Nathan Bailey was arrested after turning himself in earlier today. WRL's Aaron Thomas joins us now live from the school. Aaron?
Deborah, here at Dixon Road Elementary School, this is actually a sign, one of the first things that visitors will see at the front entrance, notifying them that they're required to go through a security screening area. Yet that didn't stop this one father from showing up here at the school with the gun. I did speak with the captain over at the Johnston County Sheriff's Office. He says he doesn't think that this man appeared to be a threat simply because he did leave immediately after school staff asked him to leave. Let's give you a look at this man facing charges today. This is 34-year-old Nathan James Bailey facing a number of charges, including firearm and educational property and impersonating an officer. He reportedly showed up this morning wearing a tactical vest with a badge and a gun on his side. School staff recognized him as a parent with a child at this school. This morning, he passed through newly installed weapons detection system, and he was then asked to leave. Deputies put out a warrant for Bailey's arrest, and he turned himself in at the sheriff's office. Now, keep in mind, this is the second incident this week involving a firearm brought on campus here in Johnston County Schools. I did also hear from a spokeswoman with the school district about these weapons detection systems. She says, quote, we are happy to see our investment is proving its worth. Deborah?
So far, it certainly has been picking up a couple of weapons. Aaron Thomas live in Johnston County. Thanks, Aaron.
Hello, I'm Mark Boyle in the WRL Live Center. Continuing to follow that breaking news, that deadly shooting in Roxborough, here's some new video from the scene from our crew there on the ground. That's near the intersection of West Moorhead Street. The police tape just dropped within the past few minutes as they wrap up their on-scene investigation. Tonight at 7 o'clock, we can confirm two people in critical condition, including the shooter, at the hospital right now. We're being told the shooter tried to take his own life there at the scene after shooting one other person and shooting somebody and killing them, in fact. So we have one person dead, two hurt, and of that, two is the gunman, according to police. On your screen right here in the Live Center, this is where things stand. This is the breakdown of how it all unfolded, starting just before 2:30 this afternoon with that 911 call. And here's the suspect information, police confirming it is 34-year-old Keith Hughes. It's unclear right now what those charges will include as the investigation continues right now at 7:03. Back to you.
Thank you, Mark. A Wake County teacher is suspended after a handwritten note surfaced with disparaging comments about elementary school students. Some of the insults are too offensive to share with you on TV. WRL's Joe Fisher has reaction from parents and the school's principal.
Parents are stunned by some of the comments in this letter now circulating around York Elementary. The principal says she is aware of the letter and the teacher has been suspended as the school investigates. We are blurring this handwritten list to protect the names of 15 young students and the disparaging words used to describe some of them, from lazy to several profanities, even making note of one student's pimples.
That will be the time I'm taking my child out of that school.
Parents contacted WREL saying the list was found by students in a teacher's notebook at York Elementary.
This isn't appropriate, period, as an adult.
Annika Johnson's son is a fifth grade student.
We're supposed to be showing love and care for everybody, and we're not doing that.
Not all of the comments are negative, with words like sweet, smart girl, and tall blonde. But six students are described in offensive ways. Wake County Schools confirms a fifth grade teacher has been suspended as they investigate.
That's not a caring person. I'm supposed to trust my child's in good hands when I'm gone and they're getting the education they need, and that's the opposite, complete opposite.
The reason behind the list remains unclear. WREL reached out to the teacher by phone and by email with no response.
I think teachers have had it rough as well lately.
Michael Gross is a father of three elementary students who go to a different school. If this were his kid's teacher, he says he'd have questions and concerns.
I would not be happy. I'd try to seek to understand more context, of course.
And in a letter to parents, the principal wrote in part, quote, "While privacy laws limit the amount of information we can share regarding personnel, I wanted to assure you that we are aware of the situation and are taking it seriously. Know that our top priority is to provide our students with optimal learning environments, and we continue to do this." I'm Joe Fisher, WREL News, Raleigh.
Tonight, a baby boy at the center of a statewide Amber Alert is safe and back home with his mother. 9-month-old Kason Monk was found 90 miles away from Greensboro in Harnett County next to his father, who is now facing a murder charge. 23-year-old Dion Monk is accused of shooting and killing Sherelle Johnson in Greensboro before taking off with the baby. He's also charged with child endangerment, among other charges. Deputies found Monk with the baby sleeping in a home in Irwin this morning. Baby Kason was not hurt and is reunited with his mother.
In the last few hours, officials identified a man killed by a Hoke County deputy this morning. He was 66-year-old Larry Scott. This happened at a home on Hickory Drive outside Rayford while deputies were serving a high-risk warrant. WRL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays has the story.
The Hoke County Sheriff's Office has spent the day collecting evidence at the scene of this officer-involved shooting that left 66-year-old Larry Scott dead. Neighbors say the incident began early this morning with a flurry of sirens and fast-moving cop cars.
I just heard the cops come from the hill where I live right here at Barfield Transmission. I heard the sirens come down the hall. When they got to the top of the hill, they cut the sirens off, and then about five or six of them passed my house going about 80 miles an hour.
According to the Hoke County Sheriff, deputies were serving a high-risk warrant when things took a turn for the worse. This is how the shooting played out, according to radio traffic on Broadcastify.
We're 194 Hickory Drive. I'll say it again. 194 Hickory Drive. Looking for search warrant. Stand by. We have one with a gun. Again, shots fired. We have one with a gun. I need EMS on location.
We're told the deputies knocked at the door and identified themselves. When the deputies entered the building, they encountered two armed men. The first man put down his weapon when ordered to do so, but the second man did not. There was an exchange of gunfire, and that's when Scott was fatally wounded. When medics arrived, they started life-saving measures, but Scott was pronounced dead at the scene.
And that was Gilbert Bays reporting. What a beautiful end to the week. Look at this live picture from Beaufort. The sun is going down. Absolutely great on this Friday evening. Near record warm today, ahead of changes expected this weekend. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WREL Severe Weather Center when we could see some showers. Kat?
It's tomorrow, and it's not going to be an all-day rain. That's the good news. We have about a 40% chance of showers, perhaps some storms, but it stays warm this weekend, 83 degrees both tomorrow and Sunday. Futurecast showing the rain still to our west at 8 and 9 o'clock. By 10 o'clock through noon, we could see some showers, mainly from the Triangle West, and then we may see some of those showers briefly die down, but by 2, 3, 4 o'clock, we could see some of these scattered thunderstorms develop and move through the area. Still a small chance for rain at 5 o'clock. I think many of us will begin to dry out toward dinner time, and after sunset, any rain will be gone, and we get a window of some drier weather to get outside and enjoy this weather on Sunday. Coming up in the next half hour, I'll have a more in-depth look at your town-by-town forecast for the weekend. Deborah.
All right. Thank you, Kat.
Mental health is top of mind for students at NC State after the deaths of 10 students this school year. They say they're now checking on their friends more often.
WREL's Brett Neese shows us how an organization on campus is hoping to end the stigma around talking about mental health.
A lot has changed in the past year for NC State student Naomi Bueno, but the biggest change, the loss of her sister Jade.
It was really a shock to my family when it happened, and mental health wasn't something that was ever really talked about within my family.
Naomi wants to change that. Now more than ever, she knows how important it is for people to talk about their mental health openly. She and her sorority will hold the 6th annual Outrace the Stigma event next month. It's a 5K run that donates to mental health awareness. This year's race is dedicated to her sister.
I still have this image of my sister having the most beautiful smile on her face and always being ready to do whatever and jumping into an adventure head first.
The NC State community is also grieving 10 student deaths over the past academic year. At least 5 of them took their own lives.
It's kind of sad to know that maybe some of my classmates are going through something that I don't know.
The university's Mental Health Task Force released this 89-page report last month. Its analysis shows over 4,000 NC State students had suicidal thoughts prior to the pandemic. Because of this and other findings, the university hired 8 new counselors and expanded its telehealth program. Students welcome these changes, but the stress from large course loads can still be tough to handle.
You cry sometimes and you get angry sometimes, but I've found that confiding in my peers and really just talking about it really makes you feel better.
Brittany, WRAL News, Raleigh.
The Outrace the Stigma 5K will be held at Lake Raleigh on April 8th.
Coming up, President Biden is returning to the Bull City next week.
After the break, an interview only on WREL. We speak with the CEO of Wolfspeed about being the first stop on the president's Investing in America tour.
Plus, the northern lights on dazzling display in the skies over North Carolina, the beautiful views, and why they could be seen this far south.
President Biden is making a stop in Durham next week. He will highlight what is happening at Wolfspeed, the first stop on his Investing in America tour. Wolfspeed makes semiconductors using silicon carbide, a material used more and more often in high-tech items, especially electric vehicles. Joining us now only on WREL, CEO of Wolfspeed, Greg Lowe. Greg, great to see you. We talked to you last year right after you were at the White House during the signing of the CHIPS Act. The president is taking notice of what's happening at Wolfspeed.
Well, absolutely. And thanks again, Deborah, for having us tonight or having me tonight. You know, it's really an honor to be the first stop on this tour for the president. And of course, you know, silicon carbide is at the heart of what we do. It's grown here, right here in North Carolina. It's very, very exciting. The business right now is basically exploding with the adoption of electric vehicles and the adoption of silicon carbide in electric vehicles. So we're super excited about this visit. You know, it's going to be on Tuesday next week, and we're really honored to be the first stop on this tour.
What have you been doing to get ready for the president?
A lot, I can tell you that. This is not an easy task. But, you know, the main thing is investing in North Carolina. And we announced an investment, in Siler City in mm-hmm. Chatham County of multi-billions of dollars. We did that in conjunction with NCA&T, where we announced a joint research and development project together with A&T. So we're super excited about that. And I think that's part of the reason why the president is coming down, you know, because, we stepped up early in the game here and decided to grow our manufacturing base here in North Carolina.
All right. I'm sure you had the vacuum cleaner in your hand and was, tidying up the place. But $5 billion, you just talked about an investment, a new plant in Chatham County, 1,800 jobs. How is the construction going? Are you still on target to open early next year?
We are. In fact, basically what we're doing is preparing the land now for the construction of the building itself. We anticipate that the building will be not complete, but the first phase of the building will be complete in early part of 2024, and that we would begin producing product in that facility by the June quarter of 2024. And boy, I'll tell you, it couldn't be early enough, because the demand for our stuff is just exploding right now, and it's super exciting to see.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, since I last talked to you, you have new deals going on for a new plant in Germany and a deal with Mercedes. So you're still seeing that demand get explode, like you said.
You know, the adoption is off the charts. And, you know, what's happening is a transition in the semiconductor industry in power electronics from silicon, which has been used for the last 50 years, to silicon carbide. You know, there's a whole place in California named after Silicon uh-huh. Valley.
Right.
Well, here we are, you know, producing silicon carbide, and that is overtaking silicon. And I got to tell you, Deborah, it's kind of fun. You know, our company headquarters is on Silicon Drive. And everyone always asks, well, why don't you change it to silicon carbide? And,
right.
You know, my response is really simple. You know, I like driving over silicon every morning.
I like that little dig. That's good. So, you know, the president talks a lot about being made in America. I think that's going to be part of what he talks about when he comes to visit you on Tuesday.
I think that's exactly right. And, you know, we produce 62% of all the silicon carbide in the world And we do that in our current Durham facility. The Siler City facility, this new facility, which we call the JP, which is named after one of our co-founders, John Palmer. So we call this city, this facility, the JP, will actually be 10 times larger than what is currently the world's largest silicon carbide factory. So it's an enormous increase in our capacity. We're super excited about it. And, you know, it just shows the demand for this technology has just taken off like crazy.
Pretty exciting. We have been watching all of you since you were just Cree, and now to see how the company has grown and the Wolfspeed as well. Greg Lowe, the CEO of Wolfspeed in Durham, thanks so much for your time and good luck on Tuesday.
Thanks, Deborah. Have a good one.
You too.
More banking concerns today, and this time there was a direct effect in the triangle. Shares in German-based Deutsche Bank fell sharply today. It has created more fear around the global financial system. Deutsche Bank has a campus in Cary. It's the bank's U.S. technology center, where they focus on software development and other tech services. A resolution commemorating the 360th anniversary of the North Carolina National Guard was passed by the U.S. Senate today. Senators Ted Budd and Tom Tillis introduced the legislation. Or the resolution, rather, pointing out that the state's rich military history dates back to 1663. The Senate passed the legislation unanimously, honoring the continued service of the North Carolina National Guard.
Well, here is something you almost never see in North Carolina. The northern lights, purple and red, lit up the night sky in Asheville last night.
It turns out this dazzling show reached across North America. These are pictures over Virginia's Shenandoah Valley. The lights turned yellow there. Look at that. People out west saw them, too. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says this happened because of a severe geomagnetic storm.
So cool. You know, people are out and about this evening. We have been watching live at Dick's Park. These folks just enjoying this beautiful weather.
Why not, Kat? A beautiful dust. Feels like June outside, even though it's still March.
It has that summer-like feel, definitely at least a different feel than where we were earlier in the week. Remember, it was 28 degrees earlier in the week. Check it out outside now. A lot of folks out and about in downtown Fayetteville, right outside the WRAL Fayetteville newsroom. We got a street fair going on, some vendors, and just a lot of folks walking around, getting in some fresh air this evening. It's a beautiful evening to do so. But we've got the pollen. That's the only downside out there. Pine, oak, maple, and mulberry. Those are the top readings today. So if you're sensitive, just be aware the pollen count will remain sky high through the weekend. Today, the second highest count so far this season. We may still go higher than that tomorrow. We do have a strong storm system bringing severe weather to portions of the south. Unfortunately, this is a significant threat for severe weather, and already some tornado warnings taking place in Arkansas. And the tornado watch was just extended into Mississippi as well as Tennessee through about midnight tonight. And this is going to be a pretty significant severe weather event through this evening and tonight in the south. A level 4 out of 5 risk, pretty significant as we head into spring. Remember, it is severe weather season. For us tomorrow, we could see some thunderstorms. At this point, it's unlikely they would be severe. We're in the general thunder, non-severe thunder zone here for the severe risk. Just south of us, though, into South Carolina and Georgia, there is a level 1 risk. And we'll let you know if that changes tomorrow morning. Check in with meteorologist Peter Shearwood. Tomorrow morning, we're dry to start, but by 10 a.m., we could begin to see some showers in the western part of our viewing area. I think best rain chances noon and earlier would be from Raleigh points west. Once we get to the afternoon, though, we could see some of these isolated storm cells develop, and that's when we could see some lightning. Notice, though, not everyone sees them, and most of us are dry by the time we get to dinner time tomorrow evening. Futurecast continues to show a front hanging out nearby, just kind of stalling out nearby on Sunday, and we've got plenty of sunshine on Sunday. So Sunday will be your dry day for outdoor plans. I will say, though, Sunday evening into Sunday night, we will have to watch the southeastern part of our state where we could see some showers filling in, mainly late, though. This weekend, it's warm. High temperatures range from the upper 70s to mid 80s tomorrow, and then on Sunday, we are right back in the low to mid 80s in most spots. Two more days left in the 80s, and then temperatures are going down. We have a chance for rain Sunday night into early Monday. Monday's highs back in the 70s, so about 10 degrees cooler than what we'll be at this weekend. We've got some 60s ahead for the middle of next week, but believe it or not, that's what's normal for this time of year. So we do get a couple of days of normalcy mixed
that
in
looks
in between.
Good.
When normal feels cold.
Thanks, Kat.
Still ahead, the public has spoken and the North Carolina Aquarium listened.
After the break, what you named these three adorable otter pups.
There is a lot going on in the Triangle this weekend with warm weather ahead.
Here is a look at Out and About's best bets. Comedian and former Daily Show host Trevor Noah is at Deepak. He's making a stop as part of his Off the Record tour. There are four shows through Monday night. Tickets are still available.
You can check out an adults-only party tomorrow at Dick's Park. Recess All Grown Up will feature mechanical bull riding, axe throwing, breakdancing lessons, food trucks, and more. Some of that stuff you probably shouldn't try unless you ask your doctor first. This is all free, but you have to be 21 or older. It runs from noon to 5 in the Flowers Field.
You know, I've been seeing kids run around that field all day. It's so fun. Well, if you're looking for something for people of all ages, Skyfest North Carolina is tomorrow. The festival is at Johnston Regional Airport in Smithfield. It includes parachute team jumps, flyovers, music, and kid zones. This is video from a previous year. Tickets are available online. You can learn more about these events and others by going to Out and About and searching WRL. Go to WRL.com and search Out and About. How about that?
All right. Sounds good. The votes are in. And North Carolina's Aquarium at Fort Fisher has announced the names of the three adorable otter pups.
The aquarium left it up to the community to decide before unveiling them on Facebook this afternoon. They're so cute. The winning names, Gemma, Kai, and Wren. They honor the pups' native habitat. Listen to them. The community cast nearly 7,000 votes to pick the trio's names.
Oh, my goodness. Imagine working with them every day.
I would never go home. It's just that's pretty awesome. Thanks so much for making WRL your choice for local news.
Our next newscast is 10 o'clock on Fox 50, then 11 o'clock on WRAL.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum.